SNI Digital, Innovations in Learning, a 3D live video journal, which is now offering podcasts on Amazon and Spotify with Apple in process. Look for SNI Digital in association with SNI Surgical Neurology International, a 2D internet journal, is introducing a new SNI Digital investigative series entitled Dr. Blaylock Reports, presenting facts about medically related controversies of today. The first topic of Dr. Blaylock Reports is bird flu a danger to your health? Dr. Blaylock's the CEO of Theoretical Neuroscience Research, the Associate Editor-in-Chief of Neuroinflammation Section of SNI and of SNI Digital. He's a certified clinical nutritionist. He's the creator and editor of the Blaylock Wellness Report and the author of multiple books, scientific papers. He's a health commentator on radio, TV, and in the Epic Times. These are some of the books which Dr. Blaylock has published. They're available on Amazon.com on The Liver Cure, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, Dr. Blaylock's Prescriptions for Natural Health, Excitotoxins, and a book on the China virus, What is the Truth?, co-authored with Dr. Ausman. This is his Blaylock Wellness Report, which he's produced monthly as a nutritional newsletter for over 20 years. If you'd like to subscribe to it, you can visit the website Wellness Report at newsmax.com.
I think the first topic we want to talk about here is bird flu. Now, I can tell you, having been a recent escapee from California and the tyranny of the government there, one of the things that's come up is bird flu. And bird flu is Gavin Newsom, who's the governor, declared a state of emergency about this disease. So this is not an unrecognized topic. Some governor has already said this is a health emergency. So can you start out telling us a little bit of what is bird flu? Is it dangerous? And so forth.
Well, there's really two bird flus. There's the natural bird flu, which had a kind of reputation as a bad form of flu. Did not spread particularly by aerosol, and is very difficult to spread. Most animals that they use for studies of the spread of these diseases is done on either a mink or a ferret. And if it won't spread or it's difficult to spread when you have them all crowded together in a cage, they say, well, it's a highly lethal virus, but it's very difficult to spread. And this was sort of the H5N1, which was the bird flu. And so they had the problem where you can't spread it very well. And kind of an introduction to this is what these people do, what these people want to do, the elite, like Bill Gates and the World Health Organization, the EU, is they're using these pandemics to instill fear, to carry out various programs. And this is the regimentation of the population and depopulation. They depopulate a certain number of people and the rest of the people they want to control. And you can sort of see this in the future as they created a new term. Misinformation and disinformation wasn't really getting much response from the public. Because we began to see that what was being labeled as misinformation, disinformation, turned out to be true. And the people who were telling these things were world experts in virology and epidemiology and medicine. So they changed the term, and it was in the UN, the United Nations. They created a term called malinformation. And a very interesting term, because what it means, well, what you're saying is right, but it makes you not trust us. As I tell people, that should scare you to death, is that they're saying, well, what you're saying is true, and we're lying to you, but if you don't accept a lie, you won't trust us and do what we say. For instance, with the mask and with social distancing and the computer models, always turned out wrong and harmful. And later studies, which were extremely well done, showed that the mask was very harmful. It showed the social distancing had been totally made up. They admitted that themselves, that there was no studies on social distancing. They just made it up. Now, what we're learning since then is that then they tried Zika virus. And they tried to really terrify, particularly mothers, to say, well, if you get infected with Zika virus, there's a high incidence of the formation of the brain is not formed. Anencephalopathy. And so they put that story out. Well, the studies, and I wrote a newsletter on it, showed that these two communities where it was first described, one had a high anencephalopathy and the other didn't, yet most of the infections were in the one that didn't. And then they found out, well, they had just started a program of spraying insecticides in the cisterns of water that people used to drink in the area that had the anencephaly. Then they looked at countries in which the incidence of Zika infection was 100%. Everybody had it. There was no increase in anencephaly at all. And so they began to look at more communities, and they found out, well, the whole thing had been made up to scare people. But before they finished with it, they were spraying cities with insecticide from airplanes. Well, we know that the number one cause of Parkinson's disease is exposure to pesticides or insecticide. And so that failed and never went anywhere because it was exposed. And the next one they tried was the COVID. And it was more successful. They scared people into wearing masks. They mandated the masks. They mandated it for children. They had social distancing in every store, or they wouldn't let you in a store without a mask on. And then they tried to mandate the vaccine, which they couldn't. So they tried to trick the public, and the people who worked for the COVID safety study, one of the companies that was hired to do the safety study, and the woman who was in charge was a whistleblower, and she said it was totally fake. And when I told them that they were not following the protocol, they fired me. And so what we've learned about the COVID incidents is that it was a high degree of manipulation, disinformation, lies, and trying to control the public. Well, it just didn't really work well. And so now they're going to try either monkeypox or bird flu. And what we found with the COVID-19 was that actually it's fairly benign, and it wasn't any worse than an ordinary seasonal flu. But with this bird flu, they say, well, we got a 60% mortality rate. And so people that catch this are going to die. Well, the results have looked at that and said, well, it's not near that high. You're inflating it, just like they did with the COVID-19. And in fact, most of the people that die are very frail, have several comorbid diseases, and they're elderly. Young, healthy people are not dying. And it's pretty mild in people outside of those categories. So once again, it's a massive global disinformation campaign to terrify the public, put back on the mask. We have a vaccine ready. We want all of you vaccinated. And they're going to have where you can't fly, you can't go in stores, you can't do it unless you've been vaccinated. And all the children where you can't go to public school unless you've been vaccinated. And so when we start looking at the particulars of bird flu, we found out, well, you couldn't get it to spread to mammals. And it was engineered, just like the COVID virus was genetically engineered, gain of function. So Robert Malone, who's an expert in virology, and McCullough have looked at it and said, there's no question. The virus that is being released has been engineered. It's gain of function. And then we have a paper written by the Chinese, which they tried to combine H1N1, which is easily spread but pretty mild, with H5N1, which is more deadly but hard to spread. They tried to mend the two to make it a highly contagious, more fatal disease. So we have the same events going on with the bird flu that we had with the COVID virus. Is that number one? This is a highly manipulated virus, and they said it was manipulated in Athens, Georgia, at the USDA poultry laboratory, in conjunction independently with a laboratory in the Netherlands, in which they manipulated it as well. And that was at the Erasmus laboratory. The Chinese were trying to manipulate it. And none of this manipulation of the virus was allowed, according to the change in the government. These bioweapons could not be made. This gain of function could not be made. And so Obama made a deal where you couldn't do it in the United States, but you could do it in other countries. And so in the Ukraine, they have 30 different bioweapons labs that the United States Department of Defense uses to make these deadly weapons, these deadly viruses, and that are more contagious. And so they engineered it so it would go to mammals. So herds of cattle, I think something like 60 different herds have been infected with the virus, hoping to spread it. Well, they still didn't make it spread by aerosol. So people were not getting it through human contact. And they couldn't get it to spread to humans. So they continued their gain of function, trying to make it spread to humans, exactly what was done with COVID-19. We knew that the COVID that was prior to that was deadly, but it was extremely difficult to transmit. There was no aerosol transmission, and there's very few deaths worldwide, and it did not cause a pandemic. So they engineered it so that it would spread, but it's still not deadly. So they changed the definition of the death. They controlled the death certificates so they could say people died of this virus, COVID-19, when in fact they died of the comorbid disease or the treatment that was imposed upon them by the CDC and the government. They did not die of COVID-19, and the ones that died with COVID-19, the treatment itself caused their demise. Now, that's all documented, and this is what they're planning with the bird flu. So we need to be prepared, and having learned recently from the COVID-19 nonsense, because it wasn't a pandemic, didn't reach the criteria of a pandemic, and yet they treated it as a pandemic, terrified the public into doing these things and to turn on each other. If you remember in the Soviet Union, when the Soviet Union fell, they said, well, why haven't all these people who were working for the government, the civilians that were working for the KGB, why weren't they rounded up and brought before trial? And so one of the Soviet dissidents said, well, the answer to that's very simple. Almost everybody in the Soviet Union was a spy and turned in their neighbors. So there wouldn't be anybody left that wouldn't be in convicted. Well, that's exactly what happened during COVID-19. Well, if you come in a store not wearing a mask, they all got together and threw you out of the store. If your neighbor wasn't getting vaccinated, they were even painting stuff on their houses that this neighbor was seen outside. This neighbor's not wearing their mask. And so they turned people against each other, all based on fear and disinformation and a grand lie.
I think isn't a recent candidate for vice president, Waltz from Minnesota, I think he was accused of turning neighbors against each other in regard to reporting whether they were in compliance or not with some of these COVID regulations. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
So basically what you're saying has real life implications. These aren't made up. Now I'm reading about this, and it says that it can occur in dairy farms. And so in California, they've tested them, and they found, again, you can get back into this, the testing, that it at least involved 650 herds of animals on dairy farms. But I think, as you just said correctly, not a single person until recently, I think it just was in the past week or two, a man from Louisiana died. But he was a farmer who had worked with people who had this, or with animals that had this, and it was had a very high exposure, had comorbidities, just like you talked about, other illnesses. And he's the only death that's been reported in the country. Is that correct?
That's correct. And he was 65 years old.
65
years
old.
Had several comorbid diseases. And we don't know that the treatment is not the thing that caused his demise. And the refusal to treat his comorbid diseases, concentrating on other things. So we had the same thing with this case in Louisiana that we had with COVID.
So anyway, the question that the viewers are going to want to know, is this something they have to worry about? It looks like its transmissibility is extremely low. You have to be in a farm, and even if you got it, it's probably not going to be harmful unless you have other diseases and your immune system is compromised. Is that correct?
That's right. Even and no matter what your age. So if you're 80 years old, but you have a good immune system, you're not going to get that ill. In fact, they found that people with good immune system, it's fairly mild. It's not really that serious of a disease. And they said this 50 to 60% mortality is highly amplified. It's not found to be true.
So the question is, here's a state that is now calls it a state emergency. They find the virus in a number of herds in California. It is not caused a death except in one person in Louisiana who had other causes to die also. And this is a national emergency in California. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all, but it's all about fear, which Robert Malone calls fear porn, just to scare people into thinking, well, it's the end of the world. And so you've got to do everything we say, and you've got to make your neighbors do everything we say, or you're all going to die. And see, the World Health Organization declared a disease of concern, not a pandemic, but disease of concern, because of Central Congo in Africa. Well, that's where it was first identified in humans in 1970. And only about 346 people died. Well, the African population is completely different from the rest of the world, because most of the people have poor hygiene, poor nutrition, and they have parasitic infections, numerous parasitic infections, which brings the mortality up very high. For instance, if you look at measles in the United States, the death rate is far less than 1%. If you look at it in Africa, it's 50 to 20% because of these comorbid diseases. And they found just by doing simple nutritional replacement, the mortality fell drastically in Africa.
So, no, I think that's good. So then the question, the average person who's going to look at this, or the patient who comes into the office of the neurosurgeon and says, I'm worried about bird flu, I've obviously been told it's something serious. Is there anything what should they do? They just ignore it at this point, or they obviously don't go on farms where there's animals that have been infected and are dying. I mean, what would you recommend?
Well, the first thing, if you're around poultry or cattle, it's not spread between the animals by aerosol. It's spread by their feces. And so the first thing, if you see a sick bird or you see a dead bird, don't pick it up. Don't touch it. And you should wash your hand. You should use good hygiene. If you use good hygiene immediately, it's not spread by aerosol, so you're not likely to contract it. The second thing is to make sure your immune system and your nutrition is the top function. And we find that people that have top function of their immune system by using simple supplements, they don't get colds, or if they get them, they're not very serious. They don't get the flu. If they get the flu, it's not very serious. Within a day or two, it's over. But they're not telling people that. No, you need to go to the hospital. You need to take these medications. They didn't do anything to repair the immune system. They didn't do anything nutritionally. And yet we know of all these things that stimulate the immune system. See, I have a patient right now that's in Europe who has lung cancer and developed pneumonia. And they were doing everything trying to cure his pneumonia, and it was just getting worse. And so I told the family, we'll start using these immune stimulants. It will make the antibiotics work. Well, he's recovered. So and within days.
So the bottom line here, in terms of, and we have a population of 40 million people in California, which has now declared this an emergency, is bird flu. And the answer is the risk to the risk to the average person, it is about as close to zero as you can get. If you're ill and you're in a farm where there's maybe dead animals or dead birds, then you have to take what are normal sanitary precautions. Obviously, probably tell the authorities. But anyway, the bottom line to what you're saying is bird flu is poorly transmissible. It's not transmissible by aerosols in any way, which means in the air. It's transmissible by feces and fecal transmission. That's usually found in farms. And you should be able to identify it, but the average person shouldn't worry about it. Is that basically it?
That's right. And so, if you use good hygiene, use good nutrition, don't worry about it.
Thank you, Russell, very much.
These are the key references to this presentation. Be prepared to take screenshots for your records. These are the references on bird flu. We hope you enjoyed this presentation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the author interviewee and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of SNI Digital or its management. The information contained in this article should not be considered to be medical advice. Patients should consult their own physicians for advice as to their specific medical needs. Please fill out the evaluation of this video at the bottom of the rating scale of the video on the home page of SNI Digital to help us improve the information we bring you on that program. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Click on this icon located at the bottom right of the home page for questions, comments, and requests for CME credit. Foundation supporting these programs also supports the two journals. Surgical Neurology International is a 2D internet journal. Nancy Epstein is its editor-in-chief. Its web address is sni.global. SNI Digital Innovations in Learning is a 3D video journal, interactive with discussion, and the web address is snidigital.org. Both of these publications are free 24/7, 365 on the internet. Surgical Neurology International has been published for 15 years. and is read in 239 countries and territories around the world. It's the third largest neurosurgery journal on readership. SNI Digital Innovations in Learning is viewed in 145 countries in the past 11 months since its publication, and it's the first video journal of neurosurgery. The goal of the foundation is to help people throughout the world. Remember, SNI is now offering podcasts on Amazon and Spotify. We're soon to be on Apple. Look for SNI Digital. Foundation also has a medical news network devoted to bringing truthful medical and science news to the world. This is copyrighted in 2025. This is copyrighted in 2025 by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation. All rights are reserved. Contact James Ausman at mac.com for more information. Thank you for watching this program.